T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky, broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco.
Seriously.
This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, welcome, welcome. Wonderful to have you here on a Thursday afternoon. Ray, I was up all last night. I'm sure you were too. Losing sleep, poring over the NFL schedule, poring over the 49ers schedule. I've reached what I think is just, it's a hard to debate conclusion here about this 49ers schedule. They're going 17-0. 16-1 minimum. I mean, I've looked at it all. I like where the bye week is. I like the times these games start. I like the primetime matchups. I got them going 16-1, bare minimum, Ray. 17-0 is out there.
It's also out there for the—
turn your mic on. Yay, there's one. Yeah.
Alert, major bag, alert,
major bag,
alert, major bag.
Ray hates that song so much, we will now play it. Not as a breaking news sounder, but every time he forgets to turn his mic on. So it's up to you, Ray, how often you hear that on
the
show.
You could be working alone by 2:15.
Hey, I did it for years. Don't tempt me.
Look, first of all, if you were up all night, it was only because Jack wasn't sleeping.
Thank you.
Secondly, you don't believe they're going to go 17-0 because you're frantic to get Trey Lance as many reps as possible, which means there should be a quarterback problem for you. If you want Trey Lance, you can't have 17-0.
I've changed
my mind.
In fact,
if you want Trey Lance, you can't have 12-5.
I've changed my mind, Ray. You know what I want?
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
You asked for it.
I didn't ask for it. My mic's on now. Everything after this is an act of hate by you.
You know.
No, just admit it. It's an act of hate.
It is. It's a nonviolent protest.
It's an act of hate.
There's some hatred behind it all. Yes, of course,
yeah,
there is.
Of course there is.
So,
but
look, I'm joking around.
Yeah.
I'm mocking the reaction that Sports Talk Radio has to the NFL schedule. It is obscene. It is ridiculous. I'll say this, though. You know, what can you really tell about a schedule from the first chance you get to look at it? We'll give you some of the particulars. We were into it yesterday. There's no one, Ray, who could make the argument. I've seen the 49ers anywhere from in the middle of the pack all the way, who has it? Warren Sharp? I can't remember
yeah.
his name. I got to figure it out. Warren Sharp. Yeah, he had a metric that said the 49ers had the easiest schedule in the NFL. I don't know where the truth is between easiest, hardest. Like, I don't know how good the Seahawks are going to be, or the Falcons might be, or the Bengals might look, or the Vikings might look. So how good those teams become throughout the year will determine whether or not this is a hard schedule. But on its surface, the day we have it, the day after we get it, Ray, no one could make the argument that the Niners have a hard schedule.
No. Because there are not that many teams that make you go, oh my God. And because the NFL also this year got rid of the 3 road games in a row, because nobody's got that this year, every schedule is at least materially easier. Beyond that, the idea of who has an easy schedule and who has a hard schedule is based on the flaw that nothing has changed since the Super Bowl.
Right.
And in fact, the whole draft tells you how different things can be. So it's a fraudulent argument to raise the question of who's got an easy schedule, who's got a hard schedule. You know, that it's, I mean, I've never understood the fascination about it, even putting it in the standings, except it's like the sixth tiebreaker. And even at that, it's kind of dishonest.
Just five of their 14 opponents possessed a regular season last year greater than 500. Just five of their 14 opponents. So there you go. Like, that sounds like some smooth sailing and good. Because guess what? It's winning time. I mean, just no more excuses. No more mulligan seasons. No more reasons why it didn't go right. This is win now time. You said you got one of the best teams in football. I think that you had a really good offseason. I do. I like the decisions that the 49ers have made with some health. I think they can go a long way against this schedule as it appears, you know, before we've even had it in our hand for 48 hours.
If they are good, the schedule shouldn't matter. It's just, it's, you know, because the schedule ultimately is much less important than how healthy you are. Because that's what we saw last year, not just from the 49ers, but from a bunch of teams. And coaches always complain, we don't have enough contact in practices anymore. You know, and they say that's why there's injuries. Well, you know what? Then figure out another way, because injuries now, I think, play a greater role in what your team is going to do than the schedule, than anything else. Because if you're healthy, you know, I mean, unless you're the Jaguars, you're at least 9-8.
If healthy is as big of an if you can put in front of any team in sports, if you're talking football health, because it's a sport that's built
carnage.
To ruin bodies.
It's carnage. It's based on hurting people.
It's great.
And
that's why we love it.
I mean, it's why the 49ers went from going 15-4 to going 6-10. Now, that's not the only reason, but, you know, you trot out a second and third string quarterback week after week. It's going to wear on you after a while. And you find out you can't hand off to anybody because your running back is hurt. That's going to wear on you. You lose your best wide receiver and your best tight end. Now you have nobody to throw to.
And your best pass rusher. And your best corner. It just never stopped.
Yeah, it did never stop. And yet, they weren't the only ones who had that. They might have had more injuries than everybody else, but it wasn't by such a ridiculous margin that they could continue to fly that flag week after week.
And they didn't. You know, here's the thing. We talked an awful lot about it. They really didn't. I didn't see, but for a moment or two after that Jets game, any real element of woe's me. Because you could feel the rug pulled out from underneath all the season goals in that moment. But the rest of the year, they didn't drop the woe is me. We didn't hear a single guy really step out of line. Not a coach, not a player, not an executive complain about having been thrown out of Santa Clara, having to go finish the year in Arizona the way that they were forced to due to COVID and all that. Like,
Shanahan bitched about that.
But, you know, he's allowed to do that once, without a doubt. And he did it once, and then we didn't really hear about it again. Like, the Niners...
Because the blowback was so bad.
The Niners don't gripe. They really haven't griped at all.
I mean, they've griped a little bit, but they weren't obnoxious about it where they were griping about it every week. But I would be interested for Shanahan to say, at what point last year he realized we're just going to be screwed and that's how this is going to play.
Yeah. I'm juggling too many balls. I can't keep this act up. Plates are going to start falling and smashing on the floor. When did you know? When did you know?
I mean, that would be the only question I'd want to know about last year is when did it occur to you that you were doomed?
Hey, let's get the sodium pentothal and Kyle Shanahan on the show sometime soon so we can ask. We've got George Sedano, one of our favorites. He's coming up at 2:45. I think I said already on the Twitter that he's coming up at 2:30, so I already screwed that up. But George Sedano's coming on today. Do you really want the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, we're going to talk about it with a guy who covers them. Jason Dumas of Cron. He is going to stop on by. He's a new member of the station. He's going to be doing some shows for us, and he's also all over some of the local topics. And he had a really interesting conversation yesterday with one of the big poobahs down at the kind of Howard Terminal situation, and basically a guy who is a big poobah where the A's say they want to build a stadium said that he hasn't heard directly from either Dave Cavill or John Fisher since 2019. So maybe he has uncovered some real truth or a lack of truth to the A's commitment to want to stay. That's why we're going to have him on. Steve Kerr live at 5, and I don't have to explain to you why Steve is coming on.
He's a poobah in his own right.
Certainly is. And, Ray, we have officially found the single most important Memphis Grizzlies game in the history of the Golden State Warriors that the Warriors will not be taking any part in. Go Kings! You are a Sacramento Kings fan tonight. I know you feel like, hey, it's an off night for the Warriors. You don't have an NBA team to root for or a game to watch. You are wrong. If you're a Warriors fan tonight, you are a Kings fan. So enjoy.
Also tomorrow night.
And tomorrow night. You get to be 48 hours worth of Kings fans.
And you will find out what a horrible existence that is.
It ain't easy.
Let's put it this way. You haven't had it this bad since 2012. Even last year, you can throw it out because all your players were gone. But watching the Kings two nights in a row, wanting them to win, with the guys that they have out, you know, this is your past that you've been denying since 2015. This is what you used to be. Strap in.
This is what only a mother could love it NBA competition looks like.
Literally, there is no mother on the planet who would willingly do this.
Giants.
I know people whose kids are Kings fans. They won't let it in the house.
Well, I mean.
I mean, literally, it's like they would rather have their kids looking at porn on the internet.
It can't be that bad. It just can't be.
It's absolutely that bad.
Oh, boy. So we got like new Kings fight song instead of it being, you know, like whatever Kings fight song is. It's just, it's got to be worse than that now.
Happy birthday to Slamson, by the way. It was his birthday, I think, 2 days ago.
Kings basketball, everybody. Go get some.
Can we cut Nash's thumbs off?
No, this is my fault.
Pound it, pound it, pound it, pound it.
What do you think I'm coming back in the studio for? To just look at you in the face? I got my buttons back, Ray. We're firing missiles over here. This is fun. This is what people show up for. This is why it works.
Jillian and I are going to have a long conversation about you. And the word annulment is going to come up more than once.
We got an awful good show for you today. Seriously, it's a fun one. I'm actually out of here tomorrow, which means I'm in full Friday mode, which means you never know what's going to happen.
I know one thing's going to happen.
What's that?
Your soundboard is doomed.
Well, no.
It's going to get the Pepsi shower it so richly deserves.
We got a good one for you today. Like I said, George Sedano a little bit later on this hour, Jason Dumas of Cron. We're going to have Steve Kerr coming up live at 5, and we got an awful lot of stuff to talk about, including two baseball teams from the West Coast, our baseball teams, heading to the East Coast for games. We will update you on what the Giants are doing in Pittsburgh, what the A's are doing in Boston, and we will obviously continue to talk about the sad news that the A's put forth this week locally that it just ain't working out here, I guess. And I'll explain that a little bit why maybe that's what's going on. And just a good show today. Good news from Peter Hartlab, a new Pac-12 commish. Did I already say that? Let's take a quick break. Brought to you by Safeway. Safeway, the largest buyer of Northern California produce, has great deals on your favorites. Local sweet strawberries, a pound size, either organic or conventional. Buy one, get one free, plus local corn for sale, four for a dollar, baby. Safeway, come on in and explore. Damon Ratto, Kolsky, and a soundboard here on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
It is really good to have you here today, a little Thursday afternoon for you. And Ray pointed something out to me as soon as I walked in today. And we're not going to do a lot of soccer, obviously. I'm not a big soccer guy. I know a lot of you aren't soccer people, or maybe there are more soccer people in the audience than I want to admit. And, you know, thank you so much for sticking around because, you know, I'm not a big fan, but I love chaos. And we have some legit fan chaos. Ray told me that there were fake team buses that they basically set up as trap buses for fans to let air out of tires. Fans are really pissed and they want to disrupt soccer games. So they had a fugazi army of buses and the players took private unmarked cars into the stadium. And that's why this started today. Fans tried to disrupt it, but fell for the fake buses. That's something else, Ray.
Well, they had the original red bus for the Liverpool outside the Liverpool team hotel, which they planned to use, but fans got to the hotel and basically blocked the bus and pulled the air out of all the tires. So their version of whoever the traveling secretary is promptly hired two other big black buses, which are hard to hide.
Yes.
But they brought them up anyway, and the assumption was, well, that's what the players are going to be going on, when in fact they just got a fleet of cars, and players were players drove over to the stadium and got let in that way. It's a continuation of the protest that caused this game to be postponed from a week and a half ago, because Manchester United fans are still profoundly pissed about their owners and what they did to try to help form the Super League and who they've been for 15 years.
Okay, so what's the end game of these fans? Do they really want to disrupt games? Do they really want a new owner? Because they're not going to get it this way.
No,
they have to know that.
Well, but they don't have. There's what other way do you protest? Do you turn into American fans and just take the beating you always get? I mean, this is, you know, they want a new owner. It's unlikely they're going to get one. But how else do you say we would like you not to make money off today's game? They know it's a short-term strategy. They know it's not going to change anything, but they are unwilling to sit and take it the way American fans take it.
Let me just suggest that every A's fan watching, every A's fan watching soccer, if in any way, shape, or form these fans actually get an owner forced to sell, do whatever they do to that owner, to John Fisher. I mean, please. Because that guy should be forced to sell.
Yeah, as best you can. Absolutely. That's why I'm not bothered by this. I mean, there was nothing violent except the damage to four bus tires. I mean, to the best of my knowledge, nobody got arrested. I mean, I haven't seen any updates, but, you know, that's a way to make it known that you're unhappy. Because if you sit back and take it, you'll get Rodgered every time. Raider fans who saw the Raiders preparing to leave for the better part of 2 years, a couple of people said, oh, we should boycott. That didn't happen. They never got angry. They never protested. They never did anything.
And they made cardboard signs that said, stay in Oakland. They thought that was going to work.
Because, well, it did work because the whole goal of stay in Oakland signs is get me on local TV. But there was no indication that they were going to do anything other than accept this. And you would have thought Raider fans, more than any other, would have raised a stink. I mean, there's a reason why when the Baltimore Colts left for Indianapolis, they did it in the middle of the night.
Right.
Because they were worried that people were going to protest. Protest never happened. It's that American fans, I think, have been beaten down by billionaire owners working them over year after year after year, that it doesn't occur to them to make a noise.
I would love to see a fan base be able to beat down a billionaire owner just once in this town, because I like when people who deserve their comeuppance, I like when they're served their comeuppance almost as much as I like when somebody works their rear end off. They finally get rewarded. And that's something that happened today for Juan Toscano-Anderson, Ray. And I'm so happy that it did, because the guy's really impressed me over the last handful of games, especially in their run-up of the last 20 games, where the Warriors have kind of turned their season, their expectations, their trajectory around a little bit. Juan Toscano-Anderson has been a huge part of it. And he's been on a pauper's basketball salary at the professional level. Jordan Poole's another guy is really coming into his own. And I don't mean to get into another man's wallet to just show you how unfair the NBA can be at times. But Jordan Poole, who very much like Juan Toscano-Anderson, was struggling to get his NBA sneakers underneath his legs and to really start his career in the right and best way. Jordan Poole was a first-round draft pick. So this entire time, he's had a three-year, $6.1 million deal to at least go home and, you know, make sure that as he's trying to get better, he's still very, very comfortable. I looked at Juan Toscano-Anderson's deal on Sports Track today. He had a guaranteed $39,000 contract. That's what he was playing on this year. $39,000 to be that much of an NBA contributor. So the Warriors have finally done right by him, and he is now guaranteed no less than $1.7 million next year. It's still not a massive NBA ransom in any way, shape, or form, but what a life-changing dollar amount to him and his immediate family. And he did it because he worked his rear end off, and he believed in himself.
It also worked because he got a chance to play extended minutes.
Right. He proved it.
And you know, got that chance. Because there are a lot of guys in his situation who get the 10-day deal and then get, you know, sent a commemorative pie and home. So, I mean, the Warriors could have just said, well, we'll see how this goes, and played it out. But even a team as sort of cash-strangled as they are, cap-wise, you know, they found a way to say, you know what, it's $1.3 million. It's $1.3 million. He helped us. He may not help them at nearly as much next year because some of those minutes that he's playing now are going back to Weissman. But for the same reason that Kevon Looney has got to stay here for, what is it now, 7 years? You know, they saw, it's not seven, it's five, I think. But he served a valuable purpose that on a lot of teams I don't think he would be able to serve because he wouldn't get to play enough. He got to play enough here and showed value. And so, you know, it is at least a recognition that, A, they have a plan for him, and B, that they recognize that he showed them that they could have a plan with him. So, you know, it's a reward, but it's also pragmatic. It's they weren't going to give him that money if they didn't see something in him that they could use in 2020.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't making an argument that they did this for charity's
sake. No, I understand.
Sake.
Oh, no, no, yeah, I wasn't. No, yeah, is... it's just, but it's always a good thing when pragmatism and decency sort of work the same side of the street because it doesn't happen very often.
No, especially in sports, there's no doubt. But good things happen to good people who've worked hard. I'm all about that as much as I am about billionaire greedy owners getting their comeuppance. And I don't know if that's going to happen. So in the meantime, pay Juan Toscano-Anderson. This is Jim in Pleasanton. Jim, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hello.
Hey, guys. You know, I was actually calling you about that point as well. It's good to see Juan Taco Anderson, you know, get a good deal. Kind of crazy, though, you know, a guy to keep league minimum for the next two seasons, right? So Warriors got a good deal. Kind of curious why Taco, you know, took that deal, because I think he could get a bigger splash if he entered the free agent market unless they had rights on him. But I'm excited. You know, the Warriors are looking good for the future with Wiseman and Poole, and then you throw in Gary Payton Jr., very active on the court. So I think it's going to be some exciting stuff, and Jordan Bell back in the mix. You know, I think it's a great role player to have going to the playoffs, giving him some veteran experience. So overall, I'm excited, and it's a great day.
Jim, I love your enthusiasm.
You sounded like Tim Roy with an adenoid problem.
You go have a great day, Jim. Look, I don't know if dropping great in front of the name Jordan Bell is the right classification, but he knows the system, at least as a working knowledge of it, and he is going to hopefully help the Warriors gobble up a couple minutes, especially if they have some meaningless basketball coming up. And he mentioned Gary Payton Jr., who did, Ray, I believe, also get a deal. Isn't that in the news today? Gary Payton Jr., who got his two 10-day contracts. You can't get a third, by the way. There is no third 10-day contract. But they gave him a deal for the rest of the way. So it looks like he will be available. And there you go.
Yeah, this was after they weren't planning to sign him as recently as the end of April. So they found a need, probably in part because they said, you know what, now that we're going into the play-in and hopefully the playoff, we need bodies.
We can't
do this with eight people. Now, you can have a rotation of eight, but you still need to have a 9, 10, and 11.
Yeah, you have to plan for the injury that you also hope never happens. I mean, that's it. I mean, what if you got Steph Curry getting hurt? It doesn't matter that you're instantly going to get eliminated right there. You're still going to be asked to play every series, you know, every game in a series, and you need more bodies. They got more bodies in. And I was also told today that Steve Kerr and the Warriors have an extended practice, or they have moved something that has moved back practice. So instead of joining us live at 5, we're expecting to hear from Steve Kerr more about 5:20, 5:30 today. So plan accordingly around your entire afternoon. 888-957-9570. I got great news from Peter Hartlaub in a column that was
Hartlaub.
Hartlaub, yes. And he is one of my favorite local writers in the Chronicle. He's got the local kind of like cultural beat. He's always working on interesting things. And he's just a really, really good writer whose work I've always enjoyed. And sometimes he frames things in a way that make it a little bit more digestible or something like that. How about this for framing the current state of COVID-19 in the Bay Area, Ray? I don't know if you've heard this or not, but Peter wrote, "We're close to the point where there are more members in the band Tower of Power than people in San Francisco with an inpatient-worthy COVID-19 diagnosis." In other words, the nine members that make up Tower of Power outnumber the amount of people who have COVID-19 or are in the hospital with it right now. This is good news. This is why the NFL, I think, is starting to say that stadiums are going to be at full capacity when we get to September. This is why we're seeing more and more stadiums agree that whatever their cautious capacity opening was, they're going to start adding, you know, 5,000 more people here, 10,000 more people there. I wouldn't be surprised if come playoff time, with these numbers pointing in this direction, that they don't start letting more people into Chase Center.
Well, first of all, I think he was referring to the fact there have been more than 60 members of Tower of Power over the...
I believe it was current members.
Did he say current?
Okay, so yeah, there have been a lot of guys in and out, but I looked it up today. There are nine members of Tower of Power.
Like currently.
Yeah, but when you're... Well, here's...
60 is a low enough number. I was just being pedantic.
Right. But either way, even if it is 60, that's still a good number. If it's nine, it's even a lot better.
I would say only this. The fact that COVID is still popping up with Major League Baseball teams makes me sort of two minds about getting more people into Chase Center, just because I think it's still out there. And I think if the Warriors aren't going to plan to be very strident about masks and distancing and showing vaccines, that could turn out to be bad as well. I would think they would be better off maintaining what they're doing now through the rest of their season and then see where COVID is come September, October, to see how aggressively they want to start selling tickets again. I admit I'm on the cautious side, but you know, the New York Yankees are doing their best to try to just keep their season together right now.
Look, you don't need to apologize for being on the cautious side of this. Cautious side is where everyone still needs to be. We're not at the end of the tunnel yet, and extra caution is... How about this? It's not time, if you've been cautious, to take your foot necessarily all the way off the cautious pedal. And if you want to say, hey, Chase Center, last time I checked, had a roof on it, so we're going to go extra slow here, I don't think that there is going... By the time football season starts, Ray, I bet you Levi's at 100% capacity.
Oh, yeah, but they don't care. The NFL actually doesn't. They have shown how much they care about this throughout. So I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
All right. Well, I mean, the NFL just basically had a football season without fans.
But they found ways to get them in places where, you know, they weren't very, very respectful to the notion of safety. If the NFL really had cared last year, they would have told the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Texans and the Tennessee Titans and Miami Dolphins, no, it's league-wide. Nobody's coming in this year. We don't know what we're dealing with. They basically kicked the can away from where they were standing and let owners do whatever they wanted. That's why I mean don't care. The fact the 49ers had no fans last year was not because of the NFL. It was because of Santa Clara County, which did a much better job of being mindful of the disease than the NFL did. I'm not giving the NFL moment one of credit for that.
No, but we're at the point where we're basically down to a 0% chance of any outdoor transmission. And if there is no roof on your stadium, you're going to see more fans game by game, if not right from the very first game. And I think this applies to 24 Willie Mays Plaza. It should apply to the Coliseum as well. You're outdoors. You're sitting outdoors. You're okay outdoors. I mean, the CDC every day is telling you less masks. Things are getting better. If you're outdoors, you can be a little bit more, you know, free in terms of just not worrying about this. And
when the CDC says go ahead and have as many people as you want in the stadium, then I'm okay. They haven't said that yet. They haven't come close to saying that. And the truth is, I don't want to trust an individual owner in any sport to make a decision that the CDC hasn't already made. They're not scientists, and everybody who's pretended to be scientists has ended up with people in hospitals. So for me, the CDC should be the governing body here. And until that moment happens, it ought to be that the NFL, since we're talking about them, should be, you know, following their guidelines and not making up their own just because they have a governor that doesn't pay attention. That's just me.
That is just you. And I'm going to tell you that if you're indoors, be as careful as you want to. If you're outdoors and you're vaccinated, you good. And by the way, I am a scientist. So there you go. But seriously, if you're outdoors right now and you're vaccinated, you can start to look beyond being worried about COVID-19 like it's going to pounce on you every time you don't have a mask on. That's the science. It's not my opinion. The numbers, the statistics, the vaccinations that we have seen, so many people, especially in the Bay Area, line up to get. It's working. It's working. The science is working. We said, everyone, let's pay attention to science. We did. We've enacted it. And the results are positive. So if all you want to do is see a glass half full, that's great. But I'm telling you that your perspective is askewed to your negative demeanor, and things are getting much better. Things are better this month than they were last month. And by the time we get to September, there's going to be 100% capacity at Levi's Stadium. Go on down. Have a great time. The only problem with that place is that it's in the wrong city.
Better isn't done. And we've seen that time and again.
Right, but that's there is why, no perfect, man.
No, perfect. But no, but anytime somebody exchanges their level of expertise for the scientists, I'm leery. If the CDC said tomorrow, we see no problem with people gathering in large quantities without a mask anywhere, and that includes stadiums, then I'd say fine. The scientists have spoken. What we're hearing, though, is team speaking, and teams have their essential profit motive driving their decisions, and we've seen it time and again in city after city. When the CDC says it's okay, then I'm okay.
Ray, they've said you can go outdoors without a mask.
They haven't said you can gather in mass places, in mass numbers, anywhere you want. And they also have put out continued warnings about this mutant strain and that mutant strain. And until the CDC says, go ahead, pack a stadium, I think it's a bad idea.
Do you think they jam in the Olympics?
I think Japan is a whole different world that I don't know enough about, but I think it'd be a terrible idea.
I think it's, given that they're not nearly in a vaccination situation like we're in, it's a bad idea for them, I think. It is. But I think it's going to happen. It's going to, I mean, there isn't all the things you would think that would be coming out of responsible or, you know, I don't know if I'm stereotyping here, but you'd think that there would be an awful lot of Japanese leadership saying we can't do this. And it's the exact opposite messaging. People don't want it. Their leaders want it because they've spent $12 billion already.
Yeah. Which means that the money's talking, not the science. Because everything that I have read is that the majority of Japanese citizens don't want this because they're already incredibly vulnerable, and bringing in thousands of other people, not just athletes, but just people who want to go see the Olympics, is an absolute recipe for increased disaster. And it's why you haven't heard the Japanese government say, we're full speed ahead. They're trying to lay low, hoping that things will get better. And it's not.
Was that me?
It was me. I had turned up the sound to hear the pronunciation of the Pac-12 commissioner's name, and I failed to turn it back down.
George,
we've dealt with that.
We've already. What are we going with?
Klyavkov.
George Klyavkov.
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 That V is going to be a problem.
The
for
V
him.
Is going to be a problem for all of us. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to be, if this guy's going to be a Pac-12 commissioner, his name is going to be, he's got one of those last names that you're, no matter how many times you write it, you still got to double check, like Samardzija. Like, there's no amount of me confident to spell Samardzija correctly. Even though I think I know how to spell it correctly, I still double check.
Yeah. The J is the deal breaker there.
Kliavkov. Yakov Smirnov. Kliavkov.
I'll be interested to see how much juice he's got right away, because he's going to be pushing for the college football playoff to be expanded so that the Pac-12 will get an automatic berth. And my sense is that while college football would be fine with that, they're not necessarily fine with the Pac-12 getting an automatic berth. And the way they choose and the way they select is heavily skewed toward the parts of the country where college football is king.
Sure.
And the West Coast is not one of those places.
But if we're expanding to 4, you got to figure you're going to double that. Now you're going to go to 8. So you might as well leave it like all Power 5 conference champions or automatic qualifiers. And then we'll invite 3 other teams to an 8-team dance or 10 teams or 12 teams, however you want to do it. I wouldn't be surprised at all, just for the overall health of the sport, them saying, of course, the Pac-12 champion will be recognized in an expanded playoffs. So welcome in. If that's what they end up doing, expanding the playoffs. This is a really interesting hire that we're going to get into more a little bit later, because coming up next, George Sedano on Do You Really Want the Lakers, Warriors fans? George Sedano is going to join us. But the Pac-12 made a conference commissioner hired today from a guy who's never filled out an athletic schedule in his entire life. This guy has not put together a team's football schedule. This guy is not some old, you know, gym teacher. not that athletic directors have been gym teachers for a long time, but this guy.
Trent Baalke was.
This guy, thank you very much. That's not right, Ray. This guy is Mr. Network. I mean, this is a savvy media hire. I don't know if he knows anything about running a conference, but he knows about running networks, which means it's a modern hire that makes a lot of sense. When I first looked at it, I thought, wow, what a reach. You read about it, the guy's resume is really impressive, and I see kind of what they're doing. We've got George Sedano joining us next from ESPN LA. Always great to talk hoops with him. Coming up here, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
A lot of people want to make fun of LeBron, who said, hey, the play-in tournament's a really good idea, right until it became a problem he might have to deal with. I guess things change when they become, you know, your responsibility. But I don't begrudge them, because the Lakers probably didn't think that they would be this banged up, probably didn't think that they were going to be sliding like this, and maybe they have slid all the way, if the Warriors keep on winning out here, to an unbelievable matchup in the play-in tournament. To talk Lakers, to talk NBA, we're always happy to go to ESPN LA Radio to find our friend George Sedano to talk with him about it. What is going on, George? How are you, pal?
Guys, I'm great, man. Good to hear your voices, and thank you for having me on.
It's always good to have you. Just me and Ray today here on a Thursday afternoon.
Kolsky didn't want to talk to me today.
He is out on you. He didn't want to have a word.
All right.
Here's how much he didn't want to talk to you. He went and had a baby.
There you go.
Look at that. I mean, he planned that out 9 months ahead of time.
Yeah. He knew this was booked.
There is a point at which I'm going to have to talk to that idiot. Honey, let's get working.
So...
George,
you've been covering LeBron back to the Miami days. You know him very, very well. How surprised were you to hear him basically say, I might never be 100% again? That felt like a defeatist LeBron that really I've never heard him even come close to that before. And even if that were the reality, very few athletes ever want to share anything like that. What did you think of that?
Well, I thought it was frustration, number one. But he has actually said it before. I was actually having this conversation recently with Dave McMiniman, who covers the Lakers for ESPN, and actually covered LeBron in Cleveland. And I remember this specifically because it happened in the 2014-15 season. If you recall correctly, that was LeBron's first season back in Cleveland after he left Miami, and he had a really bad back injury. And the guys that helped him get through that are guys named David Alexander and Donnie Ramone. Those are his were his trainers for many, many years. They now train Chris Paul, actually, the last several years, and we've seen what they've done with him. But I digress. But he said it then when he remember, that was the time, you guys may have to think back at this, where he left the team in Cleveland for 2 weeks and came back to Miami to train and kind of rehab his back. And everybody's like, oh, no, is he having second thoughts about going to Cleveland? Does he miss Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh? And all that nonsense that ensued after the fact. But he did say that then. He said, yeah, I don't know if I'll ever be 100% coming off that back injury. And, you know, when you hear it again, you know, you say to yourself, well, this is a little different, right? He's 36, you know, 2021, 6 years later. And maybe he probably meant it then, because back injuries are nothing to be trifled with, right? And, you know, he's older now. But I do think it was just frustration, if I had to guess.
Speaking of back injuries, Anthony Davis, go.
Well, I mean, listen, there's a long list of injuries here that we can go through, mostly minor. But, you know, his situation, I think, is just more – they're just taking care of him at this point. He's accumulated some stuff. And look, he's just got a history of it. And, you know, there are guys in sports that are just injury prone. You know, I mean, you guys have covered sports for a long time. Like, you just know that some guys, that's just going to be the case.
Hey, we just saw a 49ers draft pick that reflects that, you know?
Right. The biggest predictor of future injury is past injury. Like, I've always said that, and I stand by it. And I think that that's just something they're going to have to deal with Anthony Davis, the Lakers, that is, just kind of moving forward. It's probably why he signed the 5-year extension this year instead of waiting to get to free agency, where he could have signed for more money. But he wanted that security, because the extra, whatever it was, $30 million or whatever, was probably not worth it to him to lock this thing up.
George Sedano here on 95.7 The Game. So if we're looking at Warriors-Lakers, one game, you know, kind of winner-take-all situation down in Staples Center, what kind of handicap are you putting on this? Do you like the Warriors to have a puncher's chance? It feels like the Lakers, you know, they were ticketed to the NBA Finals in a lot of people's minds for the entire year, and then things changed dramatically. So what do you think of a one-game shot with the Warriors?
I mean, I don't love it if I'm the Lakers. Like, I don't want Steph to go supernova if I'm them, which he's certainly capable of. We've seen that. And look, I watched, because I've got the Warriors tomorrow. I'm actually flying up there tonight because I've got the Pelicans game tomorrow on ESPN with Mark Jones and Hubie Brown. And I spent the week specifically watching the Warriors, and I watched that Jazz game and that Suns game, and I was just like, this Warriors team looks completely different than the team that you know, I covered for a few games earlier this season, particularly against the Lakers, where they got blown out of the water in a game at Staples Center about a month or two ago. Where I'm talking about, it wasn't even competitive in the first quarter. They were down 20, and you know, the Lakers never looked back. And I thought Draymond made a really good point in the post game the other night, which was that, you know, in some of these games, particularly like the Phoenix game, he's like, that's a game we would have lost by 40, you know, just a few months ago, and we've come a long way. And I do think that. I think this Warriors team is certainly far more dangerous than the team that was at Staples Center, you know, a month and a half or 2 months ago or whatever it was. So, yeah, I give them a puncher's chance for sure, because Steph can get hot. And as long as the guys around him can shoot the ball well, which certainly wasn't the case against Phoenix, but the fact that they overcame that, man, that says to me that this team is one to be reckoned with and not to be taken lightly, for sure.
But having seen what Phoenix did to take Curry as close to out of a game as you can, would you expect the Lakers, who have been the second-best defensive team in basketball most of the year when healthy, would you expect them to do something similar, to the point where they would just say, okay, if Andrew Wiggins can get 38 on us, then maybe we lose? Or would you expect them to try to play this more straight up and make Curry get 50?
Well, I think that, I mean, look, either approach, I think, is one that they could take. If I had to guess, just based off, you know, what I know about Frank Vogel, they'll probably be a little bit of both, right? Where they're going to mix up their coverages and blitzes, particularly where they don't know what's coming on any given possession, right? There may be possessions where they're trapping step and getting the ball out of his hands very early and quickly. There may be other possessions where they're like, okay, we're going to guard everybody else and let him just kind of go and do his thing, because we don't feel like those other guys can beat us, even if, as long as we just guard them straight up. So I don't think there's a specific answer to that, Ray. I just think that you're probably going to see a combination of those particular tactics.
How much buzz do the Clippers have in L.A., if any at all? Because it feels like they're the one team that nobody's talking about that is probably, right, you know, maybe more ready, more prepared to really challenge some of the top-heavy teams like Utah or Phoenix than anyone else in the bunch.
You know, Damon, it's so funny. So I was talking about that for weeks, right? I'm like, this team, this was before they played the Knicks this past weekend or last weekend. And I'm like, man, I know they had a little three-game hiccup here, but if you look at the bigger picture, right, I always like to say, you know, if you want to have a better idea of what a team is doing, just zoom out a little bit, right? Look back on the schedule. And they had won 13 out of 17. And look, Ty Lue is definitely one of these guys that historically will kind of use the season to build on stuff, right, and just kind of lay out some stuff later in the year for the guys to kind of get used to, stuff that they maybe are practicing that they're not implementing in games early on in the season. But he'll start to kind of throw some of that stuff out as the season progresses. And we started to see that, right? To your point, they were building momentum. And then they lost to the Knicks. And I was like, man, I had been sitting here saying, watch out for this team. You know, nobody wants to see them right now. They're better than they were last year. And look, there's still that. But then they have one of these duds on offense because they get so ISO heavy. And that's really their Achilles heel is, yes, those two guys and Paul George and Kawhi are so good at isolation basketball. And that stuff helps in the playoffs. But I just think it bogs them down offensively to the point where it puts the other guys in a position where they may be pressing some by the time they do get the ball. So I think it's counterproductive in a lot of ways offensively when they do that stuff. And they had gotten away from that. They had, you know, they were getting to the line more. They were attacking the paint more. They were relying less on jump shooting during that streak that I mentioned when they won 13 out of 17. But every once in a while, they have a clunker, and then they kind of, you know, they kind of put me in a position where I don't know if I believe what I was saying previously about them. So they are a strange team, certainly. But to your point, look, we thought they could win a championship last year. They're better, I think, this year. If they can have any semblance of consistency, I think that they're absolutely in the mix for a title still.